This is a joy because, as Paul and I know, the percentage of climate change journalism that has been done by people that have followed it for 1 month or 1 year or, you know, Paul, 3 years.
Right.
And then there's Dean Scott. Dean Scott has been following climate change coverage since Africa and South America were attached together, you know, tectonic plates and all that. We're thrilled he could join us now from Bloomberg Law. Has so many different titles wrapped around his study of our environment and climate change. Dean, to be a cynic, heaven forbid I would, what's different now? We've been talking government and climate change forever. What's new?
Well, I think one of the big things that I'm following with a lot of interest is this idea that we're kind of going back to the future here on looking at the big boys in the room on climate change. This was an effort that George W. started, and Obama continued and sort of was set aside by Trump. But the idea was, and this interests me a lot because it's about 17 of the world's largest economies. You could probably guess
Yeah. Most
of those are. U.S., China, India are in there, Japan, EU. All those emitters as economies at the table because they're responsible for 80% of global emissions. So you get them to push some progress here, you get results. It's a little harder to do that at the U.N. You can probably guess why.
Yeah.
There's really 200 countries there. This forum has had some success in the past because they were able to get the U.S. to look at China
right.
in the eye and push them forward. And now there's debate as to whether China is going far enough. But yeah, I think the way to look at this is a smaller room with the big boys in climate, the folks who are creating the problem, but also that have the money and technology for
okay.
the solutions. Always a good idea.
I was at the Paris Accord. Thank you, Mr. Bloomberg. And that was about small cities, small people, cities, states, locality, and moving climate change. Can Paris Accord's success wrap over to five big countries and 15 others that are playing with them?
Yeah, I think, you know, I try to look at this like it's a group of countries that are talking over in corners, and then they have to come back to the big table a lot. And so having been to those climate talks for more than a dozen years, I can tell you, you know, they're unwieldy in a good year. And what we got in the Paris Agreement, as everybody understands, I think at this point, is it just didn't go far enough if you read, you know, what the scientists are saying and trying to get at the worst effects of climate mm-hmm. change. Everyone's going to have to kind of come back and say, we're all going to do more. And for a country like the U.S. that has been basically sitting on the sidelines for 4 years under Trump, you know, it's back at the table. I don't know if everybody in the world is quite ready to bring them coffee and welcome them, you know, to the seat at the front of the table. But I think the idea is without the U.S., it doesn't really work. You need somebody that's basically to some degree bullying other countries, pushing, prodding, getting everybody to do more on efficiency, on power plants. And all of this is kind of interesting. And the one thing that this group, this major economies talks that Biden is reviving, the reason I'm focused on it that interests me is that
yeah.
it's looking at sectors specifically like cement and steel, right? So,
right.
you know, we have steel and cement all over the world, but unless we're having conversations about sharing how to drive down those emissions,
right.
or maybe even putting goals or targets in place,
yeah.
we're really not going to get at those pesky emissions.
We got breaking news here. We've got to have to run, but Dean Scott, we've got to do this again. Thank you so much. Dean Scott, Bloomberg Law, Environment, well over a decade of work in the trenches on the environment and climate change as well.